Take your Bibles, please, at this time and turn to Genesis chapter 7, seventh chapter of Genesis, and then we'll be turning to yet another portion of Scripture. We'll be reading just the first verse. We'll read this verse in unison, all of us reading it, please, together. Shall we stand for the reading of God's Word? And then join me, please, as we read this first verse of the seventh chapter of Genesis. Ready? And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Now turn to the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Likewise, we'll read this verse all together. And this is on the last page of the book of Revelation. Chapter 22, verse 17, join me, please, as we read this together. Ready? And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And let's pray. Father, thou art so good, so very good to give us this day, this place, and this occasion when we come together in sort of a family reunion style. Thank you for the family. Thank you for our church, for our preacher, for this special music. But thank thee especially for your word. Bless, we pray, the preaching of it. And may we hear with attention given to thy word and with hearts truly athirst for what thou dost have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have some mighty good news for you this morning. And that news is this Jesus about whom we've been singing sure does like you. And he extends an invitation to you to come to himself. I'm going to talk this morning on the subject, the queen of all Bible words. The queen of all the Bible words. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you'd speak to our hearts sweetly and powerfully, happily and joyfully, with delight and conviction. Now may a holy hush settle over this place for these moments. And may God walk with men and men know of his presence. Holy Spirit, brood over this place and in the hearts of this people. In Jesus' name, amen. 678 times in the Bible. 678 times is found this queen of all imperatives. A little four-letter word. C-O-M-E. Come. It stands at the Bible's front gate in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, inviting the generation of Noah to come into the ark. It stands at the back door of the Bible in Revelation 22:17, inviting all who will to come through the door of salvation provided in Christ. Between these two gates, this imperial word beckons us to all that is good and right, the word come. It is almost beyond comprehension that a God who is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, King of kings and Lord of lords, would be interested in inviting frail creatures of dust and feeble as frail to come to him. To the sinner, he says, come unto. To the worldly Christian, he says, come out. To the lonely, he says, come near. To the fearful, he says, come nigh. To the woman at Sychar's well, he said, come hither. To Noah, he said, come in. To Zacchaeus, he said, come down. To the disciples, he said, I will come again. At the rapture, he will say, come up. At the resurrection of the dead, he will say, come forth. And to fallen Gomer in Hosea, he simply said, come, come. How about, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How about, come, for all things are now ready. He didn't say, come and help me get things ready. He said, come, for all things are now ready. This is no potluck. You bring your own dish. The meal's already been cooked. And you just might bring anything. Just come, and all things are now ready. He said, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. How about this? Come and see. You don't think salvation's a hot? Come and see. You don't think Jesus is wonderful? Come and see. You don't think there's anything to this? Come and see. You don't think Jesus is real? Come and see. You don't think God's alive? Come and see. You don't think the Bible's true? Come and see. You don't think salvation is genuine? Come and see. Or how about the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Or how about suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Ah, I love that word, come, to think that God wants you to come to him. The angels never fail. Bend from sapphire thrones and shout, come. Martyrs who now wear the crown of life lean over emerald banisters and shout, come. Prophets who look through gates of pearl extend their hand through those gates and say, come. Apostles rustle their white robes and extend palm branches and shout, come. Heavenly saints of all ages take a hiatus from gazing in Jesus' face and cry, come. Nail-scarred hands extend from the center of the glory land, and they plead, come. Oh, I don't know any better news than that. I don't know any better, happier news than that. God, through His Son, said, come. Come unto me, all you that labor. I labor. He asked me to come. Come to you, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'm heavy laden. He asked me to come. God, we used to sing, come ye sinners, poor and needy. Jesus' love can make you free. And God says to you to come. He says to the man outside the cross this morning and outside of salvation, not knowing whether you're ready to meet God or not, he says, come. He doesn't say get baptized. He says, come. He doesn't say take communion. He says, come. He doesn't say join the church. He says, come. I'm so glad that's all he said. That means the poor lady sitting in the rest home today can meet God's requirements. That means the poor man stumbling down Skid Row can meet God's requirements. It was Charles Spurgeon who used to say, look, he said, run to Jesus. He said, if you can't run, walk to Jesus. If you can't walk, crawl to Jesus. If you can't crawl, look to Jesus. There's life for a look at the Savior. The Lord comes this morning and says to you whose hearts are broken by sin, he says, come and I'll give you rest. He looks to you this morning who have burdens unbearable and questions unanswerable and problems unsolvable. He says, come. That's all you have to do. Come. I have the answers, he says. You just come. I have the preparation, he said. You just come. In Isaiah 55 and 1, in Isaiah 26 and 20, in Isaiah 21, 12, our Lord invites sinners to come. But you say, Brother House, what must I know to come? Two things. You must know that Christ came in the world to save sinners, and you're one of them. That's all you got to know. That's all you got to know. That's all. He said, Brother House, do I have to know the catechism of the church? No, you got to know that Jesus came to save sinners, and you're one of them. That's all. In this pulpit, behind this very pulpit, it's been redecorated and repainted, but in the old auditorium that burned over here, old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., in his latter years, was preaching one Sunday morning for us. And I didn't know it, but he was senile then, and he couldn't think. Well, sort of like I am now. And he couldn't think too well while he's preaching. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr. stood up that morning, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I want to tell you how when I was a 13-year-old boy, I heard a fellow talk about these men that brought this fellow to Jesus and said, this fellow on a bed, and he couldn't get in the front door, and they opened up the roof, and then down through the roof, and he got to Jesus, and Jesus healed him and saved him.
Old Dr. Bob said, I was a 13-year-old boy. He used to do like this a lot, and he used to do like this a lot on his head, and like this a lot. And he said, that man got to Jesus, he got saved. As a 13-year-old boy, I said, I bet if I could get Jesus, he'd save me too. And he preached along a little while longer, and about 5 minutes later, old Dr. Bob said, hey, did I tell you about the time when I heard an old preacher preach one time on how a man was sick, and they brought him on his bed and tried to get him in the house, but couldn't get him where Jesus was because the crowd was too big. And they opened up the roof, let him down through the ceiling, and he got to Jesus and got saved and healed. And I thought, I bet you I'd get saved. I'd get to Jesus too. He preached about 5 minutes longer, and his senility overtook him again. And he said, have I told you about the time when I was a 13-year-old boy and how I heard an old preacher say, I tell a story about a bunch of fellows that brought a sick man to Jesus, but the house was full and they couldn't get in the door, opened up the roof and let him down through the roof. He got to Jesus. And I said, I bet you if I get Jesus, I'd be healed too and saved too. And he talked a little while longer. Hey, see, did I tell you about the time when I was 30? And 9 times that same sermon, he told that same story. Some folks were snickering and laughing, but I couldn't help but think, but that's all you got to remember. Just get to Jesus. That's it. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Come home. That's the message. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. That's all you got to do. But you say, preacher, what church you got to join? None. Just come to Jesus. That's all. But you say, preacher, what do you got to memorize? Nothing. I'm a sinner, and he saved sinners, and I'm one of them. And preacher, what do you got to join? Nothing. What do you got? Nothing. Come. Just like you are, come, he says to sinners. But you ask, preacher, how do you come to Jesus? How do you come? One day, a little lady was told, come to Jesus. She came down the aisle, I understand, in the church, and they're trying to explain to her the salvation. And she said, well, how do you get saved? And they said, come to Jesus. Well, she said, how do you come? And they, well, you just come to him and trust him. Well, how do you do it? How do you come? And they tried again and again to tell her how to do it. And finally, somebody shouted, come as you are. And Charlotte Elliott wrote, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not. Oh, listen, that's the way you come. Just like you are. Just like you are. You have to get dressed up to come to Jesus. He'll dress you up after you get there. You have to get good to come to Jesus. He makes you good and you get there. Years ago I heard that. I thought I shared it with you in some southern city. There's an old shack in the neighborhood that was lowering the property value of all the neighborhood. And so neighbors got together. An old hermit lived there by himself. And the neighbors got together and said, let's go talk to that old hermit. When I went to talk to him, tried to buy him out, he wouldn't sell. And the house is run down, the walls leaning, and the house not painted, and the floor was cracked, and the yard wasn't mowed, and weeds were growing up everywhere. So finally, a group of people got together and voted to offer him an outlandish price to buy that old beat up house and that old lot that was rat infested. And they said, they went to him and said, we'd like to buy your house. He said, how much? And they told him. And he said, wow, they want a house that bad, do you? Yeah, we sure do. And so they set the date to sign the papers and for them to give the check to him. And they came back a few days later. Dr. Evans, he had painted the old house. And he had fixed the windows and done the best he could to make the house halfway decent. And the people came back and said, okay, here's the check. Let's sign the papers. And the old man said, the hermit said, have you noticed anything? Well, no. He said, you haven't noticed anything? No, I haven't. Now sign the papers. Here's the check. He said, look, before I want you to notice, I fixed the place up. And they said, you don't understand. We didn't come to buy this place to fix it up. We came to put a new place, a new house in its place. And that's what Jesus says to you. He comes this morning and says, trust me as your Savior. You say, hold it, I want to fix myself up. He said, don't fix yourself up. I'm going to make you over new when I get you anyhow. I'm going to give you a new creature, make you a new person, give you new lips, give you new eyes, give you new ears, give you new hands, give you new feet. Well, you say, preacher, what do I do? You just come. Listen, that's all you got to do. You just come. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. That's the great word. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. You don't get saved by doing, you get saved by coming to Jesus. You don't get saved by living, you get saved by coming to Jesus. You don't get saved by joining, you get saved by coming to Jesus. You don't get saved by religion, you get saved by coming to Jesus. It's only a word of four letters, just a four-letter word, but the entire vocabulary bows before its scepter. It's an ocean into which millions of rivers of meaning flow, that one little word, come. It may be heard in melody from the gates of heaven and in dirges from the gates of hell, the word, come. In Matthew 11:28, our Lord invites the burden to come. This morning, if you're a sinner, He says, come. But if you're burdened, if you're saved, but burdened, your heart is heavy, and the life has taken some strange twist, and the road of life is a bit crooked, and the burden's too hard to bear. Jesus says, come, come, come. He says, come, ye sinners. But He also says, come, those that are heavy laden, weary, and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He walks the halls of the hospitals and says, come. He enters the jail cell, and He says, come. He stands at the graveside, and He says, come. He walks in the unemployment line, and He says, come. He sits beside the shut-in today, whose world is a room, whose sky is a ceiling, and whose horizons are four walls, and whose yard is a carpet, and sits beside the shut-in and says, come. He waits with you in the doctor's office and says, come. He looks into the tavern and says, come. He holds his hands, his nail-scarred hands, toward the disco, and he says, come. He positions himself at the entrance of the body house and says, come. He comes to the parent of the little leukemia victim and says, come. He stalks the rescue mission, and he says, come. He stands beside the deaf, and he says, come. He touches the blind, and he says, come. He looks into the homesick eyes of the serviceman, and he says, come. He enters the quiet rest home, and he says, come. Oh, don't tell me you don't have a burden. Don't tell me life has not had some heavy loads to bear. Don't tell me you've not had some heartache. Don't tell me. But the Lord Jesus walks up and down the aisles this morning. He stops at each of you, and he says, come. Come unto me. If you labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, come. Come. All things are ready. Now come. Come and dine. The Master calleth. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. Ah, He has fed the hungry soul, turned the water into wine. He looks at you and says, come and dine. I got a big meal for you, and I got salvation for you. I got a home in heaven. You say, preacher, what did I got to do to earn a home in heaven? All you got to do is come. You don't earn it. You take it. That's all. You come. But preacher, what can I do? I got to go to some psychiatrist and let him help me bear my burden. I can tell you the one that made the psychiatrist. He can bear your burden for you. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy. Come, fallen woman on the street. Come, man stumbling into Skid Row's mission. Come, lonely heart. Come, dear widow. Come, dear forsaken one. Come, little bus kid. Come, deaf who didn't get to hear the beautiful music this morning. Come, dear blind ones who don't know what the Bradley prices look like. Come, come, that's it. Come, the queen of all the words, the royalty of all the vocabulary of heaven, at whose feet all the worlds bow and whose scepter we all obey. Come. Years ago, in the Thames River, a boat sank. The boat was called the Princess Alice. A boatman from the shore saw what was going on. He got on his boat and he had a pretty good sized boat, not near as big as the Princess Alice, and took his boat out beside the Princess Alice, and he packed his boat with survivors and people on the sinking boat. And when the last person, nobody else could get in the boat, the old boatman looked up and said, oh, that I had a larger boat. And as his boat took off of the shore, watching others as they were going down with the Princess Alice, he said, oh, I wish I had a larger boat. Oh, that I had a larger boat. Thank God this invitation Jesus gives you, there's plenty of room for everybody. And there's room for the poor. There's room for the rich. There's room for the educated. There's room for the uneducated. There's room for the learned. There's room for the unlearned. There's room for the eloquent. There's room for the dumb. There's room for the hearing. There's room for the deaf. There's room for the seeing. There's room for the blind. There's room for the good. There's room for the bad. There's room for the strong. There's room for the weak. There's room for the aged. There's room for the young. There's room. Come, every soul. Come. And that's what the Lord Jesus said this morning. Years ago, in a Russian war, they were right in the heat of the battle. And suddenly a messenger came out and began to holler, "Peace! Peace! 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 Peace!" And a sentinel on guard said, "Who said peace?" And a soldier who was sick turned from the hospital mattress and cried, "Who said peace?" As this man, messenger, kept saying, "Peace! Peace! 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 Peace!" And they said, "Who said peace?" And the wounded lying in the foxhole cried, "Who said peace?" And the armed warrior in fatigues, manning his weapon, said, "Who said peace?" And the messenger said, "The Tsar said peace." And shouts rang forth. That was enough. That was enough, they said. That's enough! If the Tsar said peace, there is peace! I come this morning saying, come, come. Come, 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 sinner, come, weary, come, backslider, come, lonely heart, come, burdened soul, come. And you looked at me from the deaf section and said, "Who said come?" And the rescue mission men say, "Who said come?" And the blind folks say, "Who said come?" And the folks in the rest home up here said, "Who said come?" And the service men said, "Who said come?" I say this morning, Jesus said, come. Jesus said, come. And that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. We make it so hard. We add so much to it. You know, we've been singing this morning an awful lot about Jesus. That's it. But old Dr. Bob said, get to Jesus. Listen, Zacchaeus climbed a tree, climbed down, got to Jesus. That was enough. The poor woman at Sychar's well had five husbands and living outside of marriage with another at the time. She came to Jesus. That was enough. Poor Mary Magdalene, possessed of seven demons, came to Jesus, and that was enough. The blind Bartimaeus beside the road came to Jesus, and that was enough. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and that thief on the cross came to Jesus, and that was enough. That was enough. One of these days, we'll be in heaven. A lot of our friends are there now. Old Dr. John and Brother Lester and Dr. Bill and Brother Ford Porter and Dr. Lee and Dr. Vick and Missionary Hughes and Brother Dan Parr, who stood behind this pulpit. And others, they're in heaven. And one day soon, thank God, we'll join them. There's a land, sing it, that is fair. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And in just a few years, we'll all be there. It's just a matter of time. Well, you serve at the house. Dr. John Rice was such a good Christian. Sure, he's in heaven. He's not in heaven because he's a good Christian. He's in heaven because he came. But you say, Brother Lester Roloff, by the faith he had and the courage he had. Nobody's in heaven because they had courage or faith. He's in heaven because he came. Hey, Dr. Rice became a good Christian because he came to Christ. And Brother Roloff got his faith because he came. And he got his courage because he came. Or you say, my soul, Dr. Bill Rice, ought to be in heaven. That man gave his life for the death. He's not in heaven because he gave his life for the death. He's in heaven because he came. Oh, I'm so glad for that. I'm glad when God said, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. You know, if it had said Jack Hiles, it might have been another Jack Hiles. I hate to tell you this. I got some sad news to tell you. You're not going to like this. There's another Jack Hiles. I got a letter a few years ago. A fellow said, dear Jack Hiles, my name is Jack Hiles. I thought one was enough. Shut up. And I thought one was enough. But you know, Dr. Evans, if it is said in the Bible, if Jack Hiles would believe, he'd be saved. Or come, he'd be saved. That bothered me. Because it might have meant that other Jack Hiles. But when it said, whosoever will may come, that meant both Jack Hileses. Or all three Jack Hileses. And that means you this morning. Don't tell me that you don't have a hunger for God. Don't tell me there's not a heart beating in beneath your breast that has a hunger for something you don't have. If you're here this morning, the joy of the Lord is yours. But you don't get it because you live good. You get it because you come. I was thinking of the night. One of these days we'll all be together in heaven. And I was missing some of these fellows with whom I've preached all these years. And I was thinking, one of these days we'll stand around the throne. And Dr. John Rice will tell about how a little Sunday school teacher told him. I can hear him now. He said, she said, I'm not going to give up on you, boys. I'm not going to give up on you. And I hear him now. He said, she had a little mustache. and they didn't have hair back in those days. And had a little mustache, he said. I'm not giving you, boys. And he said, that Sunday school teacher told me about Jesus. And he said, his little boy. He said, my daddy told me I wasn't old enough to get saved. So he said, I asked Jesus to save me, but I said, Jesus, you won't do it. I'm not old enough. Of course, Daddy said I wasn't old enough. But I went out and told a fellow 12 years old how to be saved. He said, you saved? I said, no, I don't think so. I trusted Jesus, but I'm not saved because Daddy said I'm not old enough. But said, you're old enough. You get saved. Dr. Rice, I didn't know it, but I was saved then. Yeah. And Dr. Rice will tell that story. And we'll join and sing, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. And then Dr. Bill Rice will say, I was a teenage boy and my daddy was dead. And I used to sleep underneath the viaduct in Dallas, Texas. And a little old homemade shack used the viaduct, the bridge, for a roof and put some boxes along the side. And I slept there when I was a boy. And God reached down and lifted me up and saved me. And we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. Old Dr. Bob will say, huh? I dare tell you about that. That old preacher preached on that fellow, got sick, and they brought him to Jesus, opened up the roof and let him down, and he got to Jesus and got saved. And I figured if I could get Jesus, I'd get saved too. And I came and I was saved, and we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior who can save a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. And then I won't have a big testimony to say, but I can tell about how one morning the pastor stood. My daddy came in at 5 o'clock the morning before, drunk, beat my mother. And I went to church that morning and sat beside mother as I always did, a little boy almost 11. And the preacher stood to pray, and the preacher said, dear God, bless Jackie boy and save Jackie boy soon. I was standing on the pew right over here, looking around to see where Jackie boy was. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, my preacher was praying for me out loud by name in front of all the people. I remember the WMS had a special meeting that week, a prayer meeting. They had a special meeting. What for? To pray for one little boy almost 11 years old. They prayed for Jackie boy. I remember how the next Sunday morning, Mrs. Hazelwood, a short little white-haired lady, was one of my teachers. She came up and she said, Jackie boy, I sure have been praying for you. I remember how that night, we're having services outside the building. And they had a little gangplank line of a thing that led from that back door up to the lot out behind, vacant lot, where we had church on Sunday night because it was hot inside the building. And I knelt on that little gangplank between training union and preaching. And I said, dear God, if you can take a poor little boy like me that doesn't have shoes to wear and has an alcoholic for a daddy, I'll take you now as my Savior. And I'll tell about that. And we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. You say, Brother Hiles, what must be done? Well, if you save yourself, you're going to have to get born of a virgin first. That'd be mighty hard. Then you've got to live a perfect life after that. That's not going to be easy. Then you've got to go to the cross and die on the cross. And that won't be easy. Then you got to get buried and stay in the grave 3 days and three nights. And then you got to rise up from the grave and overcome death. And you got to do that to save yourself. And that isn't all. You got to rise up and defy the law of gravitation and rise to heaven and sit at the right hand of God for eternity. And that's all you got to do to save yourself. I got news for you. All that's been done. All that's been done. And all you have to do is come. Our Heavenly Father, bless them.